Welcome to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. Wherever you're listening from, welcome. We pray that the truth from the Word of God speaks to your heart during today's message.
Now we're going to be looking at our Christian service in relation to the church and church life. And in Romans 12, let's just start reading at verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now here's our new text for this morning. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This is a call for humility from God. And humility is important because Christian conduct matters to God. And too many Christians worldwide, at the very least, we can say nationwide, they may claim the name of Christ, they may even be saved, but they have a very low standard of Christian conduct. In Romans 12, we start to get into verse 3, and God says, hey, look, we need to be a humble people. Now, verse number 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Many members, and God's so gracious, he gives us each our own office space, okay, so to speak. We all have different offices, different functions. Look at verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to thee, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. When we get into these gifts, you have to understand, we all have different ones. And we have different ones because that's how God has divinely appointed it. I shouldn't expect you to have the gifts that I want you to have, and neither should you do that to me. We should all want to help each other discover what gift did God give you and now use that gift. Amen. The worst thing to do is to try to get a brother or a sister to exercise or function within a gift that God didn't give them. That'd be a hot mess real quick. And so this is what we're getting into now. And then verse number 7, it says, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so we're going to see from verses 3 to 8 that all of our service to God is designed to be for him, and at the end of the day, it's all a gift from him anyway. Do you know pastoring and teaching is a gift? I get to exercise my gift within and among the body. And we have this idea of church in America where it's this, vertical ladder, so to speak. One's higher or above another. And God says in Romans 12, no, it's this way. It's horizontal. Should a church leader take oversight? Yes. But you know what it also says about church leaders? They're to be an among. A pastor is a sheep just like any other sheep. He is. It's not this way. It's this way. We're all on equal playing field. I may have a more vocal voice. I might get more of the complaints. I'm like, look, that comes with the gift. And somebody else might have that gift within the congregation as well. They might have the gift of teaching. let them teach. And so we're going to get into all of that, but it's all from God. And we need to realize something. We are not a social or political organization. We are not. And I don't care how many Christians get excited about this next election. The Republican Party is not an extension of the New Testament church. Are we okay with that? It's not. Okay? We are a spiritual organism. We aren't a political or social organization. We're a spiritual organism, and our very life is Christ.
Amen.
And He placed us in His body. He says that we are in His body, and then He says we are members of one another. How about that? Well, I'm in the body of Christ. Great. You know what else He says? You are of one another. Well, I don't like that, Lord. Why? Because we get a rub about a brother or sister.
Right.
Well, you don't cut off your left hand, do you? No, you keep it. Because you need both to have your body function properly. And you know what? You would be hurting your body if you took an axe and cut off your left hand. You'd be hurting your body. And if I or you or any of us would cut off one of our brothers or sisters, we would be hurting the body.
Sure.
And God doesn't want us to function that way. And in verse 2, He talks about this renewed mind. And then in verse 3, it links right into the way that we think. Watch. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And when He says every man, He's pointing to each individual members. And He says this, if I think wrong or you think wrong, it's going to infect the body. I forget who said it. Somebody said it. Maybe one of you can tell me who said it at the end of the message. But you ever hear the phrase stinking thinking? Yeah, that's one guy out of the team or in the club or part of the organization that's got a bad attitude. And it affects the team. It affects the whole team. And God wants us to think right. And in verse number 3, it's God's way of preventing pride from growing in His body. You just think about this. The very thought of being in a relationship with Christ, just that very thought, should humble each and every one of us. You know, this happens to newlyweds or, you know, those that are young and in love. But I believe it should be, even if you've been married a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades, I believe the thinking should still be the same. The husband should think, wow, I'm actually in a relationship with her. Woo! And the wife should think, I'm actually married to that buff, in shape man. Wow! Now, if we're honest, all of us thought that way when we first met our spouse, if you're married here. We did. But something happens along the way where it's just like, yeah, I'm home from work, I'm tired, just give me something to eat. You know, we lose the fact that how we used to think. And you know, just the very fact, man, we are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in His body. That should humble every one of us. Wow.
Amen.
And we get to serve Him.
Amen.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the reality is that all of the gifts that each and every one of us would have, all of them come from God. And praise His holy name for it. And a good church should be able to sing in harmony. And I'm talking about not what we did vocally. I'm talking about the harmony of humility. Because the petty bickering and the rising up of Captain Critical and all of the jealousies that start here and there, God says, stop singing. That's a sour note. Stop it. And he says, I want you to sing in the harmony of humility. You got to get rid of the choir director that's trying to get you to sing sour notes. And that choir director is the pride that rises in each and every one of us. God says, hey, stop it. And if we think like that, we're criticizing the Lord. We're saying, Lord, I don't know why you would put this brother in your body. Lord, that sister, really? We're criticizing the Lord when we can't be members one of another. I don't know of any relationship where there isn't a little bit of a rub. Brothers, sisters, best friends, husbands, wives. The solution is you don't leave. The solution is you work out the rub. Get a magic eraser or something. Make it all go away. Look, God wants us to function as a body. And he says, look, just humble yourself. I hope none of us would be jealous or be upset if God gave somebody a gift. If I say, man, I don't know why God gave him that gift and not me. We're criticizing God. We're criticizing him. And it's not right. Look at verse 3. You know what it says? For I say, now watch, through the grace given unto me. We know these gifts are given by God, by his grace, right? You know, if I don't have a gift that this brother has, it's by the grace of God that I don't have it. And if you have a gift that this brother doesn't have, it's by God's grace that you have what he doesn't have. But pride rises up and we want the gift that another brother or another sister has. Sister, if you don't have a gift, stop trying to use what God didn't give you. You're just criticizing the Lord. We got no problem. I've been praying for some our senior saints with their eye problems, vision problems. And that's a horrible thing to lose your vision. When you get older, you start losing the functions of what God has given us. That, look, if you're being honest like I'm being honest, we take for granted God gave us eyes to see. He gave us ears to hear. He gave us an arm to throw a baseball. He gave us feet to run and jump and walk. He gave us fingers to pluck a guitar and to play a piano. Do we thank him for it? You know, it's all part of the whole body. And we're happy to have eyes that work and hands that work. We're happy. When we get to the church, God says, you're a body. Everybody's a different member. You should be happy with that member and that member and that member and that member and the gifts that God gave to those members. What's your gift? We're going to be finding out more next Sunday, but what's your gift? Use it. Use it. Verse number 3, it has think in it 3 times. And God's trying to get us to get a hold of this. He says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. 3 times in 1 verse, God's trying to tell us, look, your opinion, my opinion might matter to us, but it doesn't matter to God or his body. We have to stop it with us as saved people. God built this into the text, this presupposition. All of us, every single one of us in this room, will always overestimate ourselves. We all will. We always give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, and we overestimate. We overcorrect for us, and God says, don't do that. Don't think of yourself as that high. It's a dangerous position. We all will struggle with this temptation. I'm just so important to the body. We all struggle with it. And God says, don't think so high of yourself. And we think because we're saved, now our thoughts can discern everything perfectly. Newsflash, they can't. They can't. Head knowledge is so dangerous. What does the Bible say? Knowledge does what? Puffeth up. Head knowledge is so dangerous because some saved people, they've got so much Bible knowledge, nobody can teach them anything. I don't want to be like that. And I don't want our local assembly to be like that. I don't want to throw away the Bible and not learn God's truth and be able to teach it and rightly divide it. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I don't want to be so high-minded that nobody can teach me anything. If I ever get to that place, someone needs to knock me off of my high horse. That's what God's doing in Romans 12, by the way. He's knocking us all off our high horse. And he says, be careful not to think of himself. When we think of ourselves, what we're saying is, I am independent of the rest. Look, God, I know you've got your body, and I know I'm a member of that body, but I'm going to kind of think a little higher of myself. I'm not really like those others. God says, stop it. You're a body. You function as a whole. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Look at the verse, watch what it says in verse number 20. But now are they many members, but yet one body. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Necessary. We need to stop it. And if we're not, and if we haven't started it and don't need to stop it, we need to not even start it up. So wherever you're at this morning, don't start it up. And if you've already started the engine, turn it off with this idea that I'm more important than another member. All members are necessary. That's what God says. Amen. And you know what he wants you to prove? Verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans chapter 3. God wants you to prove to the body that you can serve somebody else that doesn't have what you have. I'm tired of the church cliques, and I thank God we don't have them here. And if we do end up having them here, we're going to have to figure out a way to squash it. But I'm tired of the stories of the cliques of the rich hanging out with the rich, and the intellectuals hanging out with the intellectuals. And all of that is not how church membership works. Church membership works this way. You are necessary. You are necessary. You are necessary. You know how much it was a blessing to me to see Seth handing out tracts at the Christmas parade? Do you know how much that blessed my heart personally? You know how that watered my eyes? To see a necessary person, member, do something for God. Don't forget that, church family. We're all necessary. God wants you. I need some building up, and I need some edifying, and so do you. Let's use our gifts to do that, one to another. And then in Romans 12, you don't have to turn back there. I want you to stay in 1 Corinthians. But it talks about how not to think. We discussed that. And then he says, I want you to think soberly. Now, if a person that is drunk on alcohol, if they can't walk right, the police pull them over if they're driving, and they make them take a test to walk. And when they find out they can't walk right, they know that they're drunk. They ask them some questions, and they can't think right, so they know that they're drunk. They give them a ticket, lock them up, or whatever the consequence is. You can clearly tell if somebody's drunk on alcohol based on the way they walk, based on the way they think, based on the way they talk, right?
Based on the way they smell.
And based on the way they smell, amen. We can tell that. You know what? You know what stinks to God? When he tells his people to think a certain way, I want you to think soberly. And God can see, and other church members can see too, you're not walking right. Think soberly. Walk right. Think soberly. Think and talk right. Because if not, you kind of smell. And God don't like that. So he said, you're going to serve me. I want you thinking right. I want you thinking soberly. And it's an appeal, really, for God's people to sober up a little. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 and the 11th verse. Bible says in verse 11, but all these worketh the same one and the selfsame spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, what is the body, church?
One.
A little bit loud. What is the body?
One.
For as the body is one and hath many what?
Members.
And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. How do we get into the body? By water or by Spirit baptism?
By Spirit.
I had a Church of Christ guy ask me, we go to this diner, and there's a Church of Christ guy that goes there, and every once in a while he tries to stump me on questions. And he said, do you believe that someone has to be baptized in order to make it into heaven? And I said, why, yes, I do. He says, you do? I thought you're a Baptist preacher. I am. You didn't ask me what baptism. I do believe in order to get to heaven, you have to be baptized. And when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was spirit baptized.
Amen.
I received the Spirit of God. And so, yeah, I am baptized. I am on my way to heaven. Amen. And praise God. And hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
I believe that's right. I believe that's Bible. I believe that's good. There's many people this morning that are in a building, but they're not in a body. And we had one of our young people, Milani, praise the Lord Jesus Christ for her salvation. She was coming into a building, but she wasn't in a body. But when she trusted Christ, the same way that you and I trusted Christ, you know, understanding all the dispensations and all the end time eschatology and all the stuff about angels. And oh no, we didn't know all that when we got saved, did we? No, we didn't. But we knew one thing. We were lost, undone, and unclean, and we needed a Savior, and we trusted Christ and what he did on the cross, right?
Amen.
When she trusted God, she no longer was just coming into a building. She was placed into a body.
Amen.
That's a member of the one body that 1 Corinthians is talking about.
Yes, sir.
And in Romans 12, when it talks about members one of another, watch how it lays out in 1 Corinthians 12. Look at the 27th verse. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That means individual members of one another. Paul is trying to get us a hold of this. Your church membership has to do not only with you being in the body of Christ, but of one another. And I think we miss that in America. We like the idea that we're in the body of Christ. I mean, I do. But sometimes, depending on who it is, I don't like the idea of, oh, I'm a member of that another. Now, have you thought that? God says, don't think like that. I am not, look, if someone's throwing out doctrine, if someone's throwing out the Bible, if someone's throwing out righteous and holy living, I am not saying you don't have a biblical reason to leave that local assembly.
Amen.
I would encourage you to. If we throw out the book, if we start bringing in charismatic junk, if we start, you know, all that, you have a biblical mandate to come out from among them and be ye separate and find another local assembly. But if you were to leave this locale, you wouldn't leave the body of Christ. Does that make sense? You would not. You would go and assemble with other believers and try to function as a member one with another with them. That's the idea.
Amen.
Go back to Romans 12, because these two ways are important. The Bible never talks about church members as people do today in America. It's just not there. God's very clear in Romans 12. I want us to read the verses so we can review it one more time. Look at verse 4 in Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. You see that phrase, in Christ? You're a member and you're in Him. And now watch. The second part is this, the way the Bible speaks of membership in Romans 12. And everyone members of another, in the body of another. Are you in the body? You're also of another. It's in and of, both of them in Romans chapter number 12. Who's the head? You got it. Is it a man-made operation where a preacher takes somebody and dunks them in water?
Nope.
Is it a spiritual operation where the Spirit of God places you into His body?
Yes.
We got it. That's it. That's it. And in a local church, you know what we have? Fellowship, as already being members in Christ and of one another. Now we're in a locale having fellowship and doing all the things that saved people should be doing. Another thing I'd like us to look to at Romans 12 in verse number 3 is this phrase. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Man, I said, man, have you ever thought, man, I just wish I had the faith that Paul had, or George Mueller had, or Corey Ten Boom had. Man, I just wish I had faith like them. Have you ever thought phrase like that? You know what God tells us in Romans 12:3? I dealt you the same amount that I dealt Paul. Well, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure of that. Oh. Young people, have you ever played Uno with your parents? You ever play Uno with your friends? How many cards are dealt out in Uno? Call out the number.
Seven.
So if I'm playing cards, Riley, with you, will you just deal yourself seven, or will you deal me seven cards too? You're going to deal me the same amount, right? Whoever's playing, everybody's going to get dealt the same amount of cards. Now, has anybody ever played Dutch Blitz? Well, that game, you get your whole deck. You get 40 cards. So if four people play, you get 40 cards, I get 40 cards, and the other two, it's 40 cards you start with. It's a real fast game. It's a fun game. But everybody gets dealt the same amount of cards. You know what God says in Romans chapter 12? I dealt every man faith. Praise God.
Amen.
And there's going to be some people that are going to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's going to be other people that are going to put their faith in Mary Baker Eddy, in the Watchtower Society, in some type of golden plate found by Joe Smith. They're going to put their faith in all kinds of silly things. God says, look, I deal out fair. And you know what saved people? They're going to have to make the same decision. God dealt all of us the same measure of faith. How come I don't have faith like Paul? Maybe you're not playing with a full deck. Not because God didn't deal it to you, but maybe you're hiding some cards in your pocket. And God says, why don't you play with everything I dealt you? And some people will just put their faith and trust in God's word. I read it, I believe it. And other Christians, well, I'm going to doubt it. And I'm going to... Are they saved? Yes. But they're not dealing with how God would want them to deal with the measure of faith that he has dealt them. So don't forget that. You've got the same measure of faith. And praise the Lord for it. This thinking highly of ourselves part in Romans 3, it's basically like I was talking to Riley about. It's basically like we're saying, well, God, you didn't deal me enough cards. Riley and I are playing Uno, and he deals me seven, he deals himself seven. And I say, oh, you cheated me. That's why you won. You only dealt me five cards. And when we think more highly of ourselves, that's in a sense what we're saying to God. Well, God, you didn't really deal me fair. And God's saying, I'm totally fair. We have the problem. But the measuring stick in Romans 12 is the last word in verse 3. The measure of faith. We already talked about how intellectualism, just knowledge, puffs someone up. And some people, we briefly mentioned this, how social class is their measuring stick. Well, if you measure up to me and you're part of the rich club, you can hang out with us. But other than that, I'm not having you over to my house. That ain't of God. That's not... If it's not a God, it's of the devil or of the flesh or both.
Yeah.
We don't shun people who don't measure up to our standard because our standard isn't the standard. And you got to be careful about this money thing. That's why we don't pass an offering plate. We don't make emotional appeals about money. We don't send out email beg letters. We don't do any of that because we're not trying to avoid money. We're just trying to not make it something that it can easily turn into, which is this. The biggest givers have the say-so. And when they don't have their say-so, they get go. How do they do that? It's a buyout. They get their way by buying out the pastor and by buying out the church. And then the pastor, he's wearing the golden handcuffs. He's just led around by whoever gives the most money. The measuring stick isn't the big givers in the church. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. The measuring stick is faith. If you're dirt poor and can't rub two pennies together, but you have faith, that's what I want. That's what this church needs. Men and women of faith. And hallelujah. Well, see how tall you are spiritually. It's faith. Trust the Lord. Be guided by His word. You remember Peter? We won't turn there for sake of time, but in Peter, in Luke chapter 5, they weren't catching any fish. And Jesus said, I want you to let down your nets. And you know what Peter did? This is why I don't read an NIV. Amen, and praise the Lord. Because the NIV said Peter let down all his nets. You know what the King James Bible says? Peter let down one net. You know what Peter exercised? A little bit of faith. You know how I know the King James is right? Because if Peter would fully obeyed the Lord, the whole thing would have capsized. The Lord said, I want you to let down your nets. Peter said, Lord, how about just one? And that's exactly what he did. He let down one net. This is why God says you have the faith of what? Of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. It's so small. He's trying to show us we don't have as much faith as we think we do. But if Peter would have fully trusted the Lord in 100% obedience and he would have let down all of his nets, you would not have had a ship that have withstood the weight of that. The whole thing would have came crumbling down. Now you talk about faith. God would have had to bring them back up. Anyway. We'll wrap up here in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. For we as many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Human body, many members. We went through them, eyes, hands, feet, arms. That one body, it creates unity. It's all members one of another, but we don't all do the same work. I don't cook with my feet, I use my hands. I don't run on my hands, I run with my feet. Amen. Christ's body, it's the same. It's not an allegory, folks. It's an actuality. It's the same thing. One body, many members. We're all one of another. We all have different functions and work that we do. Two more verses and we'll finish out. Let's go to Ephesians and close out this lesson. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians 4. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, the church. Who's the head? Christ. Which is his body. Whose body is it? Christ's. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Who are you and I filled with if you're saved this morning?
Christ.
That's right. We become, that's what it means to be a spirit-filled member. That verse right here. All right, last verse and we're done, Ephesians 4. And we'll close out on this one. Ephesians 4, verse number 25. Bible says, Ephesians 4, 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members. Remember we talked about in Christ and of one another? We are members one of another. Look over to your neighbor or whoever's next to you or whoever's on the other side of the church house from you. You're not just in a building, you're in a body. Do you know why? Do you know why you should love the member sitting next to you or across from you? Because you're of one another. That's why. In Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, God says you are of one another. That's why I want you to love each other. You're in my body and you're of one another.
Thank you for listening to the podcast ministry of Pilgrim Baptist Church. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. In the meantime, you can sign up for our email newsletter at www.pilgrimbaptist.church.